You know the shows that you watch?
No, many of the movies are in English. I watch them in English, yeah. So anyway, this Ocean's the 12 crowd blew into Tokyo. This is January 20th, 2005, Daily Yomiuri. And Brad Pitt, George Clooney, and Matt Damon, right? Now, they care absolutely nothing about me, right? You see? Here I am, a fellow American, right? Kidnapped by the Japanese government. They're giving press conferences. You would think they would say something. I'm sure they've heard about this case, right? They don't say a word. I just want to read what they do say. See, this is an action flick, Ocean's 12. And here's what, just take a couple of minutes, what Clooney says. I think we all know what's been in the news a lot lately. And what everybody's been talking about is on everyone's lips today, Clooney joked. Now, you would think he might be referring to me, but it's like very oblique, very mysterious, right? So, but apparently, according to this newspaper article, he's referring to the recent breakup of Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. So then Clooney continues, I'm fine, and my neck is fine, and I'm sure that that's what everybody's really worried about. Why Clooney had on a neck brace, which is anybody's guess. And then here's what Brad Pitt says. Many here may not be aware that our friend Mr. Clooney has entered the priesthood. And we're very happy that he could be here to bless us in this fashion, Pitt joked. See, this is taking place in the Grand Hyatt Tokyo Hotel, 1 hour press conference. And then Pitt says, Clooney says, yeah. Brad has got a terrific butt. I think we all feel the same way. See? That when the subject moved to absent co-star Julia Roberts, who was pregnant at the time of the shooting and gave birth to twins last month, Clooney said with a grin, I had nothing to do with that. Wasting no time, Pitt quipped, regarding Julia's pregnancy, no one here had anything to do with it. She was actually pregnant before any one of us had sex with her. And then Clooney said, that's how I hurt my neck. Anyway, they have all this, you know, obviously rehearsed banter, right? You would think somebody would say something about me, right? But that's an absolute no-no. You know, I'm sure if journalists had asked them about me, they would have, like, walked out of the press conference, right?
They probably don't know that you're there, man.
This was on Time Magazine already. Come on. They know very well I'm here. This has gotten a lot of publicity. What do you mean they don't know I'm here?
Perhaps they weren't allowed to talk about that or something, or asked to be avoiding such a topic. Anyway, Bobby, let's touch on the Beatles, because you're right in the middle of a feature show on radio nationwide here on DZSR. We are doing the Beatles from 6 in the evening all the way till 10. Let me ask you, is there any song of the Beatles that you remember that can be somehow related to what's happening to you right now?
Oh, related? No, you know, I loved the early Beatles music. You know, like, I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You and all that stuff, you know?
Well, who among the Beatles would you somehow highly regard or have high regards for when it comes to perhaps being deep in composing or compositions?
Well, I was not, you know, a big fan of them. I should say just the early music. I think Lennon and Paul, not rather Paul, and Lennon and George Harrison were quite intelligent. And also, you know, I really think the most together one of them all really is, I think that Ringo Starr, he's very, he really has a good life philosophy, you know?
Very simple.
Very simple. The last time we did an interview, was that last song you played, I Live My Life, by him?
No.
It's only right, because I can't live my life for you. All you have to say is la-di-da. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I remember. You really have such a good memory, Matt. I'm impressed.
I've replayed my interviews hundreds of times already, you know.
Well, that's cool. That's one of the newest songs from Ringo. That's a song called La Di Da.
Yeah, La Di Da, a very beautiful song and very profound, you know. He really, I think he was not in so much into drugs like the rest of them, you know.
I'm very impressed with your memory. I'm not too impressed with this grandmaster in front of me, Eugene Torre. All because he doesn't remember that you and I, the three of us, were in a room once upon a time having an interview.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can I just say one more thing about Ringo Starr?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, I know some creep will say, Fisher didn't know, he's talking about a Jew, Ringo Starr. I just want to say, I understand he's a Jew, and I said that anyway, okay?
Okay. Anyway, I don't want to ask you if you're being treated right out there, but first I ask you about the meals. I guess that's one of the most important things for us to somehow get nourished. How about your recreations, Bobby?
There is no. They let you out 45 minutes a day, Monday through Friday. That's it that's it. Just into the yard, yeah. Walk around. Or kick a football or whatever. Also, they have a ping pong table. Yeah.
Bobby, Eugene here. Well, going back to Beatles, you have any idea or you know anything about their managers too? You know, other than the singers themselves.
Yeah, they had a manager. As a matter of fact, I think the reason they broke up was they had Lennon. John Lennon liked the manager, and I think Paul McCartney did not. I think his last name was Klein, I'm quite sure. I'm not sure of his first name. And I read an interview with him in Playboy years ago. And he was a really, you know, tough, hard-boiled Jew, you know, money-oriented Jew. And he was talking about money a lot. And then he said, you know, he says, you take somebody's money away from him, and he's a dead man. He may still be walking around, but he's a dead man. And that's really the Jews, that's the philosophy of life, you know?
If you're very familiar with the song called Baby, You're a Rich Man, actually that was for their manager, written for their manager.
You're a rich man, baby, you're a rich man too.
You got it.
Yeah, baby. Leaving now Beatles, because I know you're also a fan of The Temptation.
Oh, I love The Temptation.
And I know, I think you know some songs, Bobby.
I know many, many. That's probably my favorite group, The Temptations. I know many of their songs, yeah.
Yeah, why did you like also very much this group?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Temptations are a great group. My Girl and... And Beauty's Only Skin Deep. I used to go to restaurants and just put in, you know, quarters and spend, you know, many dollars just listening to their stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think one time you mentioned Unite the World.
Right. I've been listening to that lately, before I got kidnapped. I was listening to that a lot. That's a very hard-driving song, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful words, yeah. Beautiful, powerful.
You know the lyrics a little bit?
I just got into the song before I got kidnapped, so I'm not really that familiar with it. Something like wiretapping, kidnapping, hold up. So what if the Russians push the button? It's very lyrics. Well, you have to hear the song, you know? And then he says something like... Black and white, we got to walk this land hand in hand. Don't let the color of my skin confuse you. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I won't abuse you. Ugh, we got to walk this land day and night. Black and white, you have to hear it. It's so powerful, so powerful. Ugh.
Hey, Bob, this is Benji again. What exactly are the plans of the government of the United States with you? Because you are now detained by the Japanese government, and you've been there for about 8 months, I understand. What are their plans? Aren't they going to get you back to the mainland or something?
Yeah, they're trying to get me deported back to the USA to face a trumped-up trial for playing chess, if you can imagine, in Yugoslavia in 1992. They invented this passport revocation. They claim they revoked my passport back in November 21st of 2003, and that they notified me of this passport revocation on December 11th of 2003. Absolute lies. If you go to the website, you can see it's all explained in there. So anyway, the Japanese Ministry of Justice has issued a deportation order for me to send me to the USA, but we have it blocked. It's tied up in the courts right now. Obviously, I don't want to go back to the U.S. I'll never get out of jail alive there, you know.
But are they trying to extradite you to the back to the mainland?
What's that?
Are they trying to get you back to the mainland, the U.S. government?
Yes, yes. Absolutely, yes.
Well, I guess that's one of the easiest things to do. How come the Japanese government isn't doing that?
Because the Japanese government signed an order to deport me to the U.S., but then my lawyers went to the courts here to block it, you know? So it's blocked in the courts right now until the courts decide, you know?
And you don't want to go back to the mainland?
To the U.S., yeah. Don't say the mainland. It reminds me of, like, fatherland or something. It's true, you know?
Does it remind you of China? Anyway, no. Yeah, okay. Eugene?
Speaking of the U.S., somehow, Bobby, when you became world champion in 1972, somehow I didn't remember that you were properly recognized in return, you know, just to show their support for you. Like, for example, I don't remember you've been to the White House, Bobby.
No, never, no.
By the way, regarding the memorabilia and the prized belongings you had in the Beacon Storage Company, of course, this was the reason why you were very angry and became available for interviews. What happened to that? You know, your things, are they doing something with your memorabilia and that, in your own words, the robbery of your prized belongings?
Yeah, no, we've gone into that for many, many hours, Eugene, that they just stole everything in my room there, you know, in a big room. They stole countless hundreds of thousands of items, really, countless items, everything. All my books, all my chess library, all my mail, all my chess sets, gold coins, silver coins, clothing, personal handwritten notes, all my legal files, just everything you can think of they stole. Just a huge mass of material. They stole bank books, cash, everything. They stole my properties. They stole my photo albums of President Marcos. They stole personal pictures I took of President Marcos with my Polaroid cameras. They stole all of my private photo collections, all, you know, with you, for example. You remember we went, I think, up to Vegas, no?
Yes, Bobby. Well, I returned to that, Bobby. You know why? Because I believe that's the very reason why we have all these problems and all these troubles, because you became very open against the U.S. government after this thing, because before that you were very quiet and nobody could interview you. That's why I returned to that, because that's the very reason of all these problems, and now you are there in Japan, suffering there. So that's the reason, Bobby.
Well, that's only one of the crimes they committed against me. That's, I guess, in terms, financial terms, maybe it's the very biggest, but they've committed countless crimes against me ever since I was a boy. The Jews, I'm talking about the Jews. Ever since I was a boy. Jews, you know, I was up, I couldn't sleep the other night, so I made a few notes about the Jews. This is, if I could read it, it will take about maybe 3 minutes. It's not, you know, great literature, but it's just some stuff I wrote in the middle of the night. Gives you my feelings about the Jews. Could I read it? Hello?
What, Bobby?
Read a few notes I made in the middle of the night. Take a few minutes if I read it.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. A few notes on the Jew. Jews are antisocial, destructive, intolerant, mean-spirited, deceitful, etc. They wish to destroy, ruin, kill, rob whoever gets in their way. To facilitate them getting what they want, they have developed a perverted, unnatural, destructive, evil lifestyle. Even though they live off of the non-Jews as parasites, they still hate them and wish to destroy them. Jews hate nature and the natural order because it's pure and beautiful, and also because it's bigger and stronger than they are, and they feel that they cannot fully control it. Nature's beauty and harmony stands in stark contrast to their squalidness and ugliness, and that makes them hate it all the more. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-humans. The anti-human Jew hates and wants to destroy all non-Jews. He will also destroy even other Jews who are less destructive and evil than he is if they get in his way. Apparently, the wickedness of the Jew is genetically based. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-humans. By the act of circumcision, the Jew shows his hatred towards nature and the natural order. By this bloody, cruel, senseless act, he shows his cruelty and sadism, and that he will stop at nothing to obtain his ends. Surely the Jews are also behind Islamic circumcision, which serves as an ideal cover and distraction from their own wickedness in this regard. Jews are truly anti-human and anti-nature. Jews are intensely selfish, intolerant, and antisocial, etc. They are full of hate, greed, malice, etc. Naturally, other people, i.e. the non-Jews, don't like being bulldozed aside, robbed, and murdered by the Jews, and will sooner or later resist. That is where the lies and deceit of the Jews come into play. ...
Bobby. Hello, Bobby. You know, is it not possible to have, peace and unity in this world? Don't you want to improve your relationship with the Jews, or maybe so that we don't have so much, hatred, and maybe everything would be good, Bobby?
That's like the song "Unite the World." I would just we got to walk this land day and night, hand in hand. I don't think there'll be any peace until these Jews are dealt with, Eugene. These people are animals. They're just bastards, you know. Absolute animals.
Something can be done so that peace will prevail, because many people are suffering when there is so much fighting, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice. What did John Lennon say? He said, all we are saying is give peace a chance, right?
Right.
But the U.S. doesn't believe in giving peace a chance. I remember in Gulf War I, they had, they showed the GIs, you know, with the bombs, getting the bombs ready to be put onto the airplanes, you know? And, like, they were writing on these big bombs words. Like, one of them said, "Saddam, this one's for you." Another bomb said, "Give war a chance."
Hey, Bob, I have your listener who wants to know how old you are. Isn't that a little personal?
No. That's all on the record, Benji.
Okay, he's asking. His name is Eugene, actually, another namesake, okay? That's cell number 4714. It's asking you how old you are.
Yeah. I said this is all on the record. I'm 39 and holding, like what's that song by the One Man Circus? What's that guy's name?
Excuse me. You say you're 39?
I'm 39 and holding, like Jerry Lee Lewis.